unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The last time I had my driver's license, a picture taken from my driver's license when I lived in New Jersey, I was very firmly admonished by the stern lady behind the camera not to smile. And I said, why? And she indicated, because it was one of these new hoity-toity fancy, you have 12 points of identification, nobody can make a fraudulent one of these licenses, that the picture was also going to be used for facial recognition. And we can never recognize happy people. She didn't say that, I added that part. And so apparently the software is thrown off if you smile. So if you're going to do something naughty, make sure you smile while you're doing it. But facial recognition software is kind of one of those new things making us those 21st century people where we can be spied upon anywhere. They see our face through a camera, a computer goes and blurps it out and knows exactly where we are, what we're doing, and what we're wearing. It's a little disconcerting, but that's kind of the way it's all going. For our safety, mind you. Recognizing can't always be as easy as we'd like it to be. It's nice to be recognized, but sometimes we recognize people for the wrong reasons, and sometimes we recognize the wrong people thinking they're somebody else. My uncle worked at a golf club in his retirement. He was one of those people that ran around doing golf helping sort of things. I don't know what the term is. What's the term, golfers? Ranger, yes, that's it. And so, as a ranger, he would see lots of people. On the first tee on this one particular day, my uncle looked over and saw a good friend of his getting ready to tee off, and so he snuck up behind him and he goosed him. Apparently, my uncle had some failing eyesight because when the gentleman turned around, it wasn't who he thought it was. And so I choose not to goose anybody anymore because I learn from my elders. It's hard sometimes to be able to recognize people, even people we know, because of context. Because I'm a big context person, that I have these different contexts of people being in my life at certain times in certain situations. For instance, church people. And when I was in New Jersey, I had EMT people. And then I had neighbors. And they were all separated from each other, and so they had different contexts. And every once in a while, you'd run into somebody that was in the wrong context. And my brain would hit the pause button and go to figure out exactly why that person was where they are and to be able to identify them correctly and to understand where they normally are in my life. Because when you're out of context, sometimes it gets a little messed up for me. A good example of that happened, almost 28 years ago. I was being installed as the associate pastor of St. Luke Lutheran Church in Silver Spring, Maryland. Big congregation, about 3,000 people. My installation, there were about 600 people there. So I'm all twisted and nervous. I'm young. I'm not used to this. It's a high anxiety sort of thing. You want to look good to everybody. And so there was just kind of a high stress level. Everything gets done. I'm standing in the receiving line as people are leaving. Thank you. You're welcome. Good to see you. Thanks for coming out. Blah, 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 as people are filing past. I'm shaking hands, saying hello to people, and these two women, young women, walk up to me, and I look at them, and I say, thanks for coming. And the one goes, Mark. And it was Molly. I had worked with Molly at camp for probably 5 years. But because Molly wasn't supposed to be there in my brain, I didn't recognize her right away. And because I was so focused on just doing this thing, that I missed seeing her for who she was in my life because she was out of context. I think, in part, that might have been what happened to our disciples in today's gospel lesson. Because Jesus wasn't supposed to be there. And so there was a certain amount of the fact that he was out of context. So they might not have been able to recognize him. It might not have been some kind of special magic God thing that made them go, oh, we don't know who he is, or a morphing of his face, or whatever other way we want to figure out why the disciples didn't know it. It just might be that since Jesus wasn't supposed to be there, since they still thought that Jesus was dead, that there's no way that this could be Jesus. When I was in Bosnia, working those day camps I did for a couple of years in the summers, the leader of the group, Jason Reed, gave us an assignment for one of those visits. And the assignment was, each and every day, we were supposed to find Jesus. I looked at Jason and I said, I didn't know he was lost. And so the whole idea was to be able to be attuned to what was going on around us, to be able to pay attention to the actions of the people surrounding us, and to see where there were actions that took place that were of Jesus. Martin Luther tells us about Jesus' presence in a number of different ways. Jesus is present in the breaking of the bread and in the sharing of the cup. Jesus is present in the gospel when we share the word of God. Jesus is present in the sermons that are preached. Jesus is present in conversations that take place between believers. But I think Jesus is also present in the actions of others. And so we'd pay attention. We'd look for acts of kindness, acts of compassion. We look for people doing kind things to other people, having conversations, offering hugs or handshakes, sharing food, helping somebody out when they were having difficulty. Because in the end, for us, it is those acts of compassion, the acts of love, the acts of kindness, the acts of gentleness, those things that we share with other people that allow us to be Jesus at that moment. Because you see, when we share our faith, not by just talking about it, but by living it, then we bring Jesus into focus. We make Jesus present there in that moment, in that conversation, in that action, at that time for whoever it is we happen to be dealing with. And if somebody does the same for us, there Jesus is present with us through the actions of that other, through their love, through their kindness, through their compassion, through their giving, their sharing. Jesus is present with us. And so we would go through our days there in Bosnia, picking out those times where we could actually see Jesus in the lives and in the actions of others. See Jesus through the kindness of a Muslim child. See Jesus through the graciousness of somebody in the group. See Jesus in the actions of the teachers that were there on their free time helping these children. The most shocking thing was when we were sitting around one day and talking about those moments where we saw Jesus, that somebody actually dared to accuse me of bringing Jesus to the table. Because it applies well for other people. But when you're the one who's told that they brought Jesus in, it's a bit intimidating. And it also made me think about my life. Not the overall scope things, but the whole daily process of my life and the opportunities I have and the opportunities that I have missed to be able to bring Jesus into the lives of somebody else because I chose not to do something nice. I chose to ignore the needs of others. I chose to be who I wanted to be at that given time, not who God wanted me to be. And at those moments in my life, there probably was no presence of Christ seen through me. And so it was kind of a humbling process to be able to kind of think about that and understand the magnitude of the gift that God had given me in my faith. That I have the opportunity through the very actions of my lives and the words that I choose to speak and how I choose to care for other people, that there might indeed be Jesus. Two disciples had to look long and hard to be able to figure it out. And it was in the breaking of the bread. It was in the representation of that gift of Christ in terms of the sacrifice that He made for them, the love that He shared with humanity that allowed them to open their eyes to see exactly who was there before them. We, every day of our lives, have that chance to bring Jesus into somebody's life. Through what we do, through what we say, through how we care, and whom we love. When we take the gifts that God has blessed us with, and we use them not for ourselves, but for the betterment of the world around us, there is that chance that somebody will say, there. There is Jesus. It's an opportunity we don't want to miss. Amen.